As we continue through the book of Philippians, I'd like to speak this afternoon on this theme, a working salvation. A working salvation. Paul gives a very interesting statement in verse number 12 when he says, work out your own salvation. We'll come to that a little bit later. As we continue, though, we see that the focus of chapter number 2 is on, thus far, on the matter of compassion and service to one another. In verses 5 to 11, God opened up the Word of God and put the greatest example that we have to follow, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest example of servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that's what we're striving for, to be exactly like Him. And as the servant, we would then be exalted. In other words, it is not our focus to be exalted, it is our focus to serve, and then God in due time will exalt us. We see a challenge, though, within these two verses of Scripture that we read a few moments ago, as I just said, to work out their salvation, written to the Philippian Christians, but applicable to us many, many years later. Possibly, we haven't used that term in our vernacular. Work out your own salvation. Now, if you've read the Bible, you came across this at some point, if you've read the New Testament, if you've read the book of Philippians. But some other terms might sound more familiar. And those are, one is sanctification. Sanctification. When Paul says, work out your own salvation, that's another way that we could look at that statement. Another statement that maybe you have heard from time to time is the statement, spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. How many of you have ever heard that term? Spiritual growth is very important. Okay? How about sanctification? Sanctification, you've heard that term. To be set apart. To be set apart as a believer. Well, that's what he's talking about, and we'll dig into it a little bit more in a little bit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. This work that the Apostle Paul is talking about, work out your own salvation, this work can only be accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. There is no one here in this room today that can work out your own salvation in the flesh. It is impossible. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is writing here, and he gives us a great reminder about who we are. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. So in the first half of this verse, we see the grace of God. How many of us recognize today, you don't have to raise your hand, but just a rhetorical question. How many of us recognize today that salvation is only by the grace of God? We recognize that. We cannot get saved by works. Bible says that very clearly over and over again. Titus chapter 3 verse 5, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And so in this first half of the verse, we see that the Apostle Paul says, I am who I am by the grace of God. And by the way, that's your testimony today too. Whether you realize it or not, we are who we are. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, it is only by the grace of God. When you die, you're going to heaven. And by the way, if you do not know that, listen carefully. I firmly believe that almost every Sunday that we come to church, there's at least one person in the building that doesn't know Christ as Savior. And possibly more. And we've experienced that just in recent days. By the way, to God be the glory. That someone would recognize, you know what, I'm lost. You know what? You know, I've been around the church more than the mice have been around the church. Amen? I've been around the church for a long time, but I'm missing something. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. It's a blessing when somebody comes to that realization. By the way, don't go to church for 40 and 50 years and think that that's going to get you into heaven. Don't go to the baptismal tank and think that's going to get you to heaven. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. you're a Christian today, it's by the grace of God that you're on your way to heaven. No one deserves it. Grace is getting from God what I do not deserve. Right? What do I deserve and what do we deserve? We deserve punishment. We deserve death. The wages of sin is death. And so by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Semicolon. But. What's the next two words after the conjunction, but? I labored. You see that? 1 Corinthians 15:10. But I labored. Grace of God is the only way to heaven, right? That's true. That's what the Bible says, by the way. But notice here, the second half of the verse, Paul says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but he turns it right back around, but the grace of God, which was with me. So here we see that salvation is by grace through faith. Paul said that, by the grace of God I am what I am. But then he turns around and says, but I labored more abundantly. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. A working salvation. Is my sanctification completely my responsibility? Is my spiritual growth, remember we gave those two terms as comparable to working out our salvation. Is our sanctification, is our spiritual growth completely our responsibility? Would you go with me to the Old Testament quickly, to 1 Kings chapter number 8. 1 Kings chapter number 8. And now we're going to have to pick up the pace here a little bit. Verse 54, I'll begin reading. 1 Kings 8:54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Verse 55, 1 Kings 8:55. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Praise the Lord for that. Which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Okay? Pay attention to verse 58 even more than you have been. That he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these, my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant, and the cause of his people Israel, at all times as the manner shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. Now verse 61. Let your heart therefore be perfect. Mature. With the Lord your God. With the Lord our God. To walk in his statutes. And to keep his commandments as it is this day. Now look at verse 58 again. That he may incline our hearts unto him. Who's he right there? God. So there we see God is working. You see that? But in verse 61, we see, let your heart. That's us. For this, we can apply this to our heart. It's the people of Israel here. But let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord. To walk in his statutes. That's obedience. That's my responsibility. So here we see in several verses of Scripture that sanctification, we could say, is God working and me working. Quickly turn to the New Testament, please. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, a working salvation. A working salvation. Work and salvation do go together. Not to receive salvation, but it does go, they do go together. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. According as his divine power. Whose divine power? God's. Mentioned in verse number 2 with the comma there. Look at verse number, for sake of time, verse number 5. And you've read this passage before. But notice, and beside this, giving all diligence. Who's to give diligence? Us. We, believers. So notice verse 3, according to the divine power that God hath given unto us all things. God's part. But there's our part too. Verse number 5. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We have a choice to make here. Are we going to add to our faith? And when you think of faith, this is saving faith. Notice that doesn't stop with saving faith. Living faith. We're supposed to add some things. And this isn't the message today to go through all of those. I just wanted you to see there at these comparisons as we go back to Philippians chapter 2. The Christian life is God working in and me working out. God working in, me working out. And by the way, let me just give you a great, great encouragement. God is always doing his part. I can guarantee you, God is always working in you. We read that in verse, in our text. The question that we want to get to is, am I working out? We need to be. We ought to be. That's the theme, a working salvation. So let's get into the outline here and see how far God will let us go into this. Number one, we see in verse number 12, the command. The command in verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This quote, Paul starts with the word wherefore, referring to the immediate context. So what's preceding. Don't forget our example in obedience. Who is our example in obedience? The Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, his record is immaculate. His record is perfect. And that doesn't mean that we don't strive for being like Christ, because that's what we're supposed to do. And we have the ability to do that with the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we see here our example is the Lord Jesus. So number one, the command. Number two, letter A, we see a commendation to the Philippians. A commendation to the Philippians. Notice the words that Paul gives, my beloved. I read that and I believe wholeheartedly Paul had a great affection and love for the people of Philippians. Look at chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Please. Chapter 1, verse number 8. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you, you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Focusing on verse number 8, how greatly I long after you. Paul definitely loved these people, my beloved. And then he makes a statement, as ye have obeyed. You know, when I read this, I think of this thought, consistency. Consistency. It's a past tense statement, is it not? As ye have obeyed. That's talking about what they have already done in the past. As you have been obeying, as you have been obeying, who is it that Paul is challenging them to obey? None other than who we need to be obeying, our Father, our Heavenly Father, the God of this book right here. As ye have obeyed, their testimony was one of consistency. I want to ask you this afternoon, can your life, can my life be defined by one of consistency? As ye have been reading your Bible, as ye have been praying, as ye have been growing in grace, as ye have, past tense, we need to be consistent believers, consistently in the Word of God, consistently letting what God is doing on the inside come out on the outside. Here we see Paul is commending them. Letter B, we see Paul challenges them as well. We see a challenge to the Philippians. And this is that interesting two words, work out. Now that might be a very bad thought to some of us. When's the last time we had any kind of a workout? I'm Brother Josh. We need to do a lot more working out. I don't know that you're involved in that specifically, but I know you're around the gym regularly with what God has enabled you to do. And I think of that workout, and every time I read that workout, I think, man, I got to exercise more. That's not what it's talking about, but it's just the application. So Paul says, work out. Work out your own salvation. Interesting, this work out in the Greek comes from a word that means to perform, to accomplish, to achieve, to do that from which something results. Don't miss that. To do that from which something results. Yes, we need to be looking for results in our Christian life. Yes, we need to be working for something that is happening in our Christian life. The tense of this verb is active and continuous. What does that mean? We don't work out our salvation once and that's it. We work out our salvation every single day. God works in, what do? We work out. God works in, how does God work in? Through His Word, through His Spirit, through preaching, through teaching, through your Bible devotions that you have. God's working in. By the way, God works through life circumstances. God allows things into my life to work in me, to do the will of His good pleasure. That's what we're going to see here in a little bit. But God isn't working in me for it to not result in something or some kind of a result. No, God is working in me that I would then take what God is doing and so that I would work out. God works in, we work out. It is an active and continuous tense of verb. Sanctification and holy living are a daily task, and might I say this lovingly, a daily duty. It ought to be our duty to say, God, what does work out my salvation mean for me today? What does sanctification, God, what does that mean for me today? Everybody here knows possibly something in your life that ought not be in your life right now. It's not pleasing to the Lord, and you're growing in grace, and you know you're just getting things out, and you're taking things in. By the way, don't get rid of everything without replacing it. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want me to get rid of everything that is unholy without putting things back in my life that are holy and good and according to what God wants for my life. And He's given us so much that we can put into our life that would bring honor and glory to Him. This tense, this verb, it is a sustained effort and diligence in working out what has already been planted within. Working out what already has been planted. Planted by who? Planted by God. Turn quickly with me to Romans chapter number 3. This working is as a result of our salvation. Not for our salvation. God works in, we do what? We work out. Take that home with us today. God works in, I work out. And God will always work in. Question is, are we working out? Romans chapter 3, verse number 20 says, Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. How many people can be saved by the deeds of the law? Zero. No flesh can be justified in God's sight by the deeds of the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Yes, the law is important. The law lets me know, Ben, you're a sinner. You need a Savior. Verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here we see the way of salvation. It is not a working of on anything to do with us, but it is a planting of the Lord. It is what God, he who began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But however, though, I do have a part in this working out, that I would have a hunger and a thirst for spiritual maturity. I came across this illustration, which greatly helped me. I hope it will help you. We were to come across a tree, and on this tree, there would be a large honeycomb. A large honeycomb. And we would take that honeycomb down from the tree after getting stung, I'm sure, a few times. That's not in the illustration. That honeycomb is filled with what? Honey. Good, okay. Deep here, all right? My job, though, is to get the honey out of the comb. Or out of the hive, if you will. It's full of honey. I set it down on the table, and I just sit there, and man, I can't wait till the honey comes. You know, sit there a long time. The honey's not going to come. It's going to get rotten and spoil, and then you have to throw it away. My job is to work the honey out of the comb. When God saved you, he gave us the Holy Spirit of God. All of the Holy Spirit of God. All of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't forget that. You cannot have any more of the Holy Spirit of God than you got the day you got saved. You cannot get more of the Spirit later. You get all of the Spirit upon salvation. He gave me the ability by the Spirit to love, to endure, to be long-suffering, to have patience. In other words, God has put a work in me, and I am to work that out day by day. Notice, if you will, back at our text, the words "with fear and trembling." Moving right along, with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This has to do with the level of respect. Psalm 111, verse 10, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." I like that. Isn't that an amazing statement? Great reminder. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I have to admit that there's some times in my life that I am doing things, or I'm deciding things with very little fear and trembling. And I don't believe that is, I'm scared of God. No, it's a respect. It's a respect for God. Remember, who gave us everything that we have today? Our God. Who picked us and pulled us out of the miry clay? Who gave us a robe of righteousness? Who provided heaven for us? A holy God gave that to a sinner like me. How dare I not consider him and what he wants for my life? And he's always working in so that we can work out. He's always working in so we can work out. As I strive and we strive for spiritual maturity, we recognize that God's power is needed to withstand the temptation from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes, I'm going to let God, I'm going to work out now. The devil's going to say, okay, let's see how far you want to work out. You know, when you do want to get on a, when you do want to get in a physical workout program and, you know, you do it for 2 or 3 days in a row and then, you know, things happen, things get in the way or whatever. And everybody here, we've all tried to do different things from time to time. And you know that we can come up with the most amazing excuses for anything like that. Or anything. Doesn't mean necessarily just like that. And that's just exactly what the devil will try to do. If we say, you know what, yes, that's a good point. I need to work out my own salvation a little bit more on a regular basis. God's working in me, but I'm not working out. Get ready, the devil's going to try to fight that. Because the last thing the devil wants is a church filled with not holier-than-thou people, but the last thing the devil wants is a church filled with people that want to live holy. The devil would love for Anchor Baptist Church, and I'm not saying we don't have that already, but the devil would love for Anchor Baptist Church to be filled with believers who don't mind, okay, yeah, God's working in me, but I'm not going to do my working out. What happens? It stunts our growth. You'll never, and I'll never grow in grace as God would want me to grow in grace with continuing to have one hand on the world and trying to have one hand on God. It just doesn't work that way. So we see, number one, the command. Quickly, number two, in verse 13, the first part of verse 13, we see our companion. Oh, aren't you glad we're not going to do this alone? Look at verse 13, please. For it is who? God. For it is God which worketh in you. Our companion is the work of our Heavenly Father. Sanctification, this quote, sanctification is the work of God from the inside out. Sanctification and renewal begin with God and continue as we are yielded to Him. Our companion. You don't understand, Pastor, I'm struggling with this in my life. Yes, we all struggle with whatever this is and different this is all over the room, but we have to recognize it is God, it is God, it is God. We have a companion, a holy God who is sitting there right there with us. He is omnipresent, remember that. He has given us the person of the Holy Spirit of God who is indwelling us at all time to help us to work it out. To help us to put our step forward, spiritually speaking. It is God which worketh in you. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee. Oh, would you listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's our companion. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us with a love, an agape love that doesn't matter who and what I am. He loves me unconditionally. We see letter A underneath our companion. We see the work of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 quickly if you would. Ephesians chapter 2, the work of God. We've talked about this, so we won't spend a lot of time on this particular part here. The work of God. Part of the work of God is our sanctification. We see that in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Whose workmanship? God's workmanship. You know the little song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. God works in, we work out. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. We are his workmanship. That's amazing. Isn't that great? We're in God's workshop. And I'm in there. And you're in there. That must be a That's in a huge workshop. And he's got a whole big, massive area. And there's Brother Vijay. You're in there too. God's working on you. I'm there. He's working on me. Brother Dan's working on you. Brother Josh, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Good works. God did not save me to continue to walk in the way of sin. God did not save me to continue to walk in the way of the flesh. God did not save me and you to continue to walk in the way of the world. He saved us. He saved us to walk in the way of good works. He saved us to walk in the way of holiness. He saved us to walk in the way of his word. He saved us to walk in his will, not my will. That's why he saved me. He preordained it that he would save me to walk in his works. That's why he saved you too. We function best when we are in proper fellowship with our Creator. I'll give you this text and we won't turn to it for time's sake. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. If you take notes, jot that. Please jot those verses down and take a look at them later this week. The work of God. Letter B, the ways of God's work. The ways of God's work. We talked about this quickly. Actually, I kind of really got ahead of myself there, but I want to list them for you. The ways of God's work. Number one, his word. Remember, I just got to make sure I've... there we go. Okay. Remember, if the only time you open this book is on Sunday, you have a problem. Here's the problem. You're not going to know if God's working or not. Because this right here is the number one way that God works. Through his word. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. That's the working out our own salvation. Sanctification. Being set apart. And so this is the tool. It's not the only tool, but it's a major tool that God works in. So he works in me. Every time I open this book, God works in me so that I can work out. Maybe we're not working out our salvation enough because we're not following how God wants to work in our life. Through his word. Number two, through his spirit. Through his spirit. Quickly turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, please. A working salvation. It's kind of like a working vacation, whatever that means, right? Is it either work or vacation? Well, with salvation, we can say that. It's a working salvation. Which one is it? Both. It's salvation which leads to working. By the way, if you're genuinely born again in the Spirit of God, you will want to work out your salvation. God's Spirit will not let you survive without heading that direction. Now, it may take time. Growth is, I'm not saying growth is for all of us the same pace. But if there's a Holy Spirit in you, you're going to be miserable if you're not trying to work out your own salvation. Here's the thing, though. If you can continue to live a life that is controlled by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and there's seemingly no bother, I would really check your salvation. Because the Bible says he chastens those whom he loves. And if you're not getting any chastening from the Lord, if I'm not getting any chastening from the Lord, then believe me, I am many times over, and I'm thankful for that. Look at Romans 15, quickly. Verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being, what's the next word? Sanctified, being set apart, working out our salvation, all these can be put together, by the Holy Ghost. God works, number one, through His Word. Number two, through His Spirit. Number three, turn to James 1. James 1. The ways of God's work, His Word, His Spirit. James 1. These are the ones that we don't want to sign up for readily. The ways of God's work, His Word, His Spirit, and trials. Trials. Look at James 1, verse 3, please. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. It's talking about a maturing, a perfecting, a maturing. That ye may be perfect, mature, complete. But what's the context? How do we get to the perfect part? It's that word trying. The trying leads to the maturation, becoming mature. This is one way God brings about this working in so that we can work out. Through His Word, through His Spirit, through trials. Number one, we saw the command, work out your own salvation. I pray that many of us today that are saved will seriously take that command to heart. But then we will quickly remember, number two, that we have a companion. Our God is our companion. And then number three, and lastly, the second half of verse 13, we see the completion of the work. The completion of the work. You may know this already. God is a finisher. What God starts, He finishes. What God gets going, creates, the plan of redemption, He finished it. Amen? Genesis 3:15, sometime look at it. That's the very beginning of the plan of redemption. Right there in the first book of the Bible, the third chapter, the 15th verse, and then go all the way thousands of years later, go to the hills of Golgotha and see the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the tree and uttering those last three words. It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That started in Genesis 3:15 and went all the way to John chapter 20, John 21, right in there where Jesus died. John 19, the crucifixion. What God starts, He finishes. He's a finisher. I want to be a finisher. I want to finish strong. I want to finish faithful. Notice what it says here. Verse 13, verse B, second half of the verse. I'll just read all of it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is a finisher. He works in us and through us for His glory. Letter A, His will. His will. There is a goal and a purpose. I'm going to turn to Romans 8:29. You may turn there if you like. As soon as I find it, I'm going to read it. Romans 8:29. Thank you for listening. A working salvation. Romans 8:29. The Bible says there, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. To be conformed to the image of His Son. What are we allowing to conform us? Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. When you pour something into a mold, it conforms to the mold, right? The liquid conforms to the mold. We ought to be pouring our life into the image of God so that we can look more like Him and think more like Him. And respond more like Him. This is His will. This is His purpose. This is His goal for my life. God uses two things to direct us to His will. Number one, God gives us a discontentment with where we are in our current spiritual life. In other words, I want more. I don't want to just read a little bit of the Bible every day. I want to read much of the Bible every day. By the way, God wants you to read as much of this book as you possibly can every day. Make it become a part of you. I don't want to just come to church occasionally. I want to come to church every time the doors are open. I want more. whatever way that may be. Secondly, he stirs us to aspire to grow in him and with his righteousness. Boy, when God is stirring in your heart and when God is stirring in our heart, it is a blessed thing to have. By the way, God works in so that we can work out. God always works in. Philippians 3. Let's go there quickly. Philippians 3, verse 10. His will. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. John Newton said, I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. His will. And let her be. To do. The completion of the work. To do. Richard Baxter said, this life was not intended to be the place of our perfection, but the preparation for it. Someday we're going to experience glorification. That's in heaven, amen? We got justification, that's getting saved. We want to be striving for sanctification. That's growing in grace. We never arrive totally where we need to, but we're wanting to head that way more and more. And then someday, glorification. We shall see him, or we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm looking forward to that day. To do. Ephesians 3:7. The Bible says there, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And then I read for you, listen carefully, Colossians 1:9-10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. To do his will, to do, and then let her see, and lastly, his good pleasure. Our Heavenly Father delights in blessing his children. I do not look at my Heavenly Father as someone who is in heaven looking for an opportunity to judge me and punish me all the time. Nope, I look at my Heavenly Father as someone who wants to pour out his blessing on our life. Psalm 37:23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We glorify God, and at the same time, we are blessed. As God is working through us, we are more than able to work out our own salvation. I'm not working out my own salvation, Pastor Turner. Well, why don't you talk to the Lord about that? Because I can guarantee you this. He is working in you. And he is working in me. So that then I can work out. Are you saved? If you were to die tonight, would you be in heaven? Many times death comes without invitation. And this isn't a scare tactic, it's just, think about it. Are you saved? you died tonight, would you be in heaven? You have a Bible reason why you're saved. Can you open up the Bible and say, Pastor Turner, here's why I'm saved. Look what the Bible says right here. Really, you should be able to do that. You should be able to show anybody why you're saved from God's Word. Because many times, well, I remember 20 years ago, I went down to the altar, somebody talked to me, and I prayed with them. Okay, maybe you're still saved. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. But really, you should be able to know right here why you're saved. So if you don't know that you're saved and you can't show me that, or if you can't show me that, that doesn't mean you're not saved, but you ought to be able to find something in God's Word. Pastor, this is why I'm saved. You don't have to do that for my sake. You know why you ought to be able to do that? For your own heart, but also for others. God didn't save me to keep this message to myself. He saved me to give this message out as much as possible. So are you saved? If you're not, in a minute, we're going to stand up. That piano's going to play like it always does for the invitation. But maybe today's going to be different. You're not going to just stand there in your seat. You're going to come to this altar and you're going to say, Pastor Turner, I am not saved. And I need to be saved now. That could be you. Maybe you're saved, but you're not working out your salvation as you need to be. Well, why don't you come talk to the Lord about that too? Let's pray together here today if you're able. God's working in your heart. Just obey the Lord. Just obey the Lord. Let's pray.